Well, thank you, music team. Wonderful selection of songs this morning. Great is Thy Faithfulness is probably one of my favorite hymns. It's a wonderful, rich, because His faithfulness is great. And we are, it should be new to us every morning. Also want to just say thanks for those who came out yesterday. I don't know who you were, but I know there were people over here yesterday doing the Christmas decorations. Thank you for doing that. They're very, very pretty, very beautiful. Thank you for the time involved in that. If you have your Bibles, I'm asking that you turn with me to Psalm 138. Last week, this was the intended message for last week. If you weren't here, we spent a good portion of our time just giving testimony to the Lord, thanking Him for His goodness to us. Don't know about you, but I left here very encouraged. It was just very refreshing to see just the sweet spirit as we all recognize the Lord's work in each of our lives, and just very thankful for that opportunity. Now, with that being said, I wasn't able to preach. And I know for you, a lot of you, you did go home very thankful for that reason. And there were people who falsely accused me of saying, well, I think you might have paid people to talk longer so that you wouldn't have to preach. While I rejected any such idea, I will say there is nobility in that, and that's not a bad idea for the future. But so here we are, Psalm 138, kind of on the backside of Thanksgiving, but it is an important lesson because we are always to be thankful. We celebrate one day of the year as a country, but we are as Christians to be thankful each and every day, abounding in thanksgiving. This is the time of the year where our country sets aside a day for giving of thanks, Thanksgiving as we call it. It was George Washington who proclaimed Thanksgiving a national holiday in 1789. It was Abraham Lincoln who called upon Americans to observe Thanksgiving on the fourth Thursday of November in 1863. And it was Congress who sanctioned it as a legal holiday in 1941. And so it's a from this beginning, we as a country have wanted to set aside a time for Thanksgiving. And though as the years have gone by, that the reason for setting aside that day has definitely been skewed. And the reasons we celebrate and what we do on those days, really as a country, no more do we set it apart as a day, but we give thanksgiving to the Lord. In the early days, Thanksgiving in America was celebrated for a variety of reasons. It was the pilgrims who celebrated as an expression of their gratitude for survival. It was the community of Charlestown, Massachusetts, who celebrated victory over the native Indians. It was the 13 colonies who celebrated the victory over the British at Saratoga. All of those situations, they all recognized a time to set aside, particularly a meal, set aside a time where they would give thanksgiving to the Lord for the good that had come to them and the good that had come to their families. In fact, when George Washington declared it a national holiday, he declared it with these words. This was the intent behind Thanksgiving holiday when it was first initiated. Washington writes, quote, "Whereas it is a duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress, have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially to affording them an opportunity to peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness," end quote. For Washington and for the houses of Congress, the fact that they could set aside a day to give thanks was a part of a reason why you gave thanks. They were thankful that they could even set aside a time to give thanks. He goes on and says, quote, "Now therefore I do recommend and assign Thursday the 26th day of November next to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all the good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering unto Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection." From its beginning, Thanksgiving was intended to be a time where we as a nation acknowledge the good that has come to us at the hands of our Almighty God, thanking Him for His care and thanking Him for His protection over our lives. Celebrating a day of Thanksgiving is not unique to America alone. We're not the only country that has set aside a particular day to give thanks to the Lord or give thanks or to recognize thankfulness for something. And many other countries recognize a national day of Thanksgiving. Some actually call it that. While there are other countries that celebrate some similar festival holiday, they don't actually call it Thanksgiving, but it is intended for the same reason. It's a time where they want to give thanks for something. They may not attribute that thankfulness to the Lord, but they want to set aside a time where they are thankful for something. And so many nations and many cultures recognize the importance of gratitude, recognize the importance of giving thanks for the good that is bestowed upon us. You understand, being thankful is an important characteristic for any individual. We all should be characterized by gratefulness and thankfulness, whether we're a believer or not. It's important as you recognize the blessings of family and friends in your life. It's important to recognize the blessings of provisions for life and for health. Even for those who don't know Christ and who don't attribute good as coming from God, thankfulness still serves to help them keep them humble. It keeps people humble as they recognize the good that has come to them at the hands of someone else or at the hands of something else. So even if you don't know Christ, thankfulness still keeps you humble. It also keeps you dependent. As you consider the blessings that come to you from others, you realize how important those individuals are to your life. It keeps you humble and dependent. Being thankful is also important because it removes pride. It removes arrogance. It removes ungratefulness and bitterness for what you don't have, and puts the focus on what you do have. Being thankful replaces those negative characteristics with humility and meekness and gratefulness and compassion and love. Thankful for what you have, thankful for the one who has provided those things for you. And being thankful is important on many levels and important to each and every relationship that we have with another individual. Regardless of who that individual is, showing thankfulness to them is an important aspect of that relationship. And the most important of those relationships is obviously our relationship to the Lord. And being thankful to the Lord should be a virtue in the life of every Christian. That is the one thing other than our love that we should be known by. We are thankful people, and we are not just thankful to anyone. We are thankful to the Lord for His goodness and His mercy and His kindness. We don't do that just on the fourth Thursday of November in America. We do that, as Paul says, we are to abound in thanksgiving. Literally, to be flowing over with thankfulness in our hearts for the things that the Lord has given to us. We are to give thanks in all circumstances, as Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, with that being said, that we are to abound in thanksgiving and that we are to give thanks in all things, I believe we would all agree that it is very difficult at times to give thanks in all circumstances. It's not always easy. Not only is it not easy to always be giving thanks in all circumstances, but as Paul says, we are to abound in thanksgiving. That sometimes can be extremely hard, even for the best of us, to be thankful for the circumstances that we are, to be abounding in thankfulness to the Lord amidst the difficulties and the trials that we may be facing. And when Paul says that we are to be abounding in thankfulness, I don't believe Paul is expecting us to have some type of false giddiness where we're just kind of ignore the realities of life. We just ignore the realities of the hardships and the trials that we're faced. He's not saying just have this kind of blissful ignorance where you just ignore all of those difficulties and hardships. Instead, what Paul is saying is we are to be thankful to the Lord even in the midst of those difficulties, in the midst of those hardships. Life can be extremely difficult at times. Whatever the difficulties may be, maybe health, maybe provisions, maybe family issues, maybe work issues. And those difficulties, whatever they are, can lead us to become bitter and angry and resentful. And sadly, we take that resentfulness toward the Lord. And rather than giving Him thanks, we become hard-hearted toward Him. We question why He's doing this. We question why He may be allowing this to happen into our life. And if it's not the difficulties of life that keeps us from being thankful, maybe it's just the good things that have come to us. Life's good. Life's okay. So really, you know, everything's just kind of working just right for me. So we just begin to take the good things that have happened to us for granted as well. So we're not thankful during the hard times, and we're not thankful during the good times. We fail to always be thankful to God. And whatever the reason, genuine thankfulness is not always an automatic response we have to the Lord. It requires constant discipline on our part and constant consideration of God's goodness to us in the best and the worst of times. In our passage this morning, David, who was a man after God's own heart, exemplifies for us a heart of gratefulness. He shows us what a proper attitude of thankfulness consists of. What are the qualities that come with a proper attitude of thankfulness before the Lord? And then we see some specific things that he was thankful for. We are to give thanks to God for all things. That's what we're commanded to do. But David here specifically narrows down a few things, directs our attention, directs our focus to some specific items that we are to be thankful for. And they really all center around this: God's character and his word, as seen in his promises. Starting at verse 1, we're going to read all 8 verses. David writes, "I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. On the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands." And Psalm 138 through Psalm 145 are the last psalms that David writes in the book of Psalms. And this is the beginning of that last little section here. While there is no historical occasion attributed to these psalms, 138 to 145, as you might see in some of the other psalms that are written by David, we don't really know the background that David writes these psalms. And many think that these psalms are David's response to God for the promise of the Davidic covenant that you see in 2 Samuel chapter 7. You kind of come to that conclusion when you look at the what David says and David's prayer of gratitude in 2 Samuel chapter 7, and the similarities in that passage with the similarities that you see specifically here in 138, but in the rest of the Psalms as well. Now, time does not permit us to take an in-depth look at the covenant made to David, but a brief overview will help us in understanding David's response to the Lord. Why was David so gratefully to the Lord? In 2 Samuel chapter 7, we see that David, after having rested from his battles, wanted to build a temple for God. It says in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 2, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent." David's heart was pure. David says, I want to build a temple for the Lord. Look, I have a house of cedar. He has a tent. Let me build him a temple. And so he consults Nathan the prophet. And Nathan the prophet says, "Hey, I give you my blessing. Let's do that." Problem was, David nor Nathan had consulted the Lord about the situation. And so on that very same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 5, the Lord tells Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of them, any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar?" The Lord's response to Nathan was, listen, if I want a house built, I can get it built. I would have done that. The Lord conveyed to David that he did not want a temple built at this time, and he had not chosen David to do it. He had something different in store for David. So when you look at 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verses 8 through 16, you see the promises made to David, the promises that make up the Davidic covenant, promises that would be fulfilled during David's lifetime and promises that would be fulfilled after his death. Here are the promises that would be fulfilled during David's lifetime. David would be given a great name, that Israel would be appointed a place to dwell, and that God would give David rest from all of his enemies. Those were the promises made to David during his lifetime. Promises that would come to be fulfilled after David's death: a son would sit on the national throne whom the Lord would oversee. That would be Solomon. And a son would rule a kingdom that will be established forever. That would be the Messiah. The promise to David was that the Messiah would come through the line of David. The promise was, this promise that the Son would come, that the Messiah would come and establish his kingdom, was the heart of the Davidic covenant, that David's throne would be established forever. It says in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, "And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." That was the Lord's pledge to David. God's irrevocable pledge to him that a king from the line of David would rule forever. The ultimate fulfillment of this promise will come at Christ's second coming, where he will set up his millennial kingdom on earth and rule from the throne of David. So this is the promise made to David. And as David hears these promises made to him by the Lord, he responds in verses 18 through 29. We're not going to look at that this morning, but I would encourage you to look at it with this beautiful and speechless prayer to the Lord, marveled at what God is going to do in his life. In fact, it said, David says, "I don't even know what to say. I'm just speechless because of what you are going to do in my life." And his response in those passages, verses 18 through 29, are very similar to his response here in Psalm 138. He is thankful for God's promises, and he's thankful for God's character. Character that would make such promises to David, and character that would ensure that those promises made to David would come to pass. So we have here a man after God's own heart who is grateful to God for his character and his promises. And whether or not this psalm is directly tied to 2 Samuel chapter 7, you still have a servant of the Lord who is grateful for the Lord's goodness, who is grateful for the Lord's character, who is grateful for the Lord's promises. And so he displays for us a proper attitude of thankfulness to the Lord. In the first two verses of Psalm 138, we see six features of David's gratefulness before the Lord. We won't spend a lot of time on each of these, but I do think they are worth mentioning. These are the qualities that showed that he displayed a proper attitude of thankfulness before the Lord. The first one, David was willing to give thanks to the Lord. He says there very clearly in verse 1, "I give you thanks." And David begins this psalm with a declaration of his thanksgiving to the Lord, a declaration that reveals his willingness to do so. "I give you thanks," David says. In the Hebrew, it meant to cast or throw something. David is saying, "I am throwing thanks upon you. I am casting thanks upon you. You deserve my thankfulness. You deserve my gratefulness. I'm going to continually throw it upon you." Here it is symbolizing the willingness of David to give thanks to the Lord. There's no reluctancy on David's part. "I'm casting it upon you. I'm throwing it upon you." He's giving thanks to the Lord in the form of praise, musical praise to the Lord. There's no reluctance on the part of David to hold back gratefulness to the Lord. He says, "I'm not going to allow anything to hold me back. I'm going to cast it upon you. I'm going to throw it upon you." There's nothing forcing him to do this. He casts to the Lord thankfulness freely and gladly. He does so willingly. "Here, Lord, you deserve my thanks. I'm going to throw it upon you. I'm going to cast it upon you." He was willing to do so. Willingness is where the proper attitude of thankfulness must begin. We have to begin with this: "I'm willing to give thanks to the Lord for all things and in all situations." When we realize the goodness of the Lord is not deserved, and we willingly give thanks to the Lord for such undeserved goodness. "I'm thankful for your promises. I'm thankful for your character. I'm thankful for your mercy. I'm thankful for your righteousness. I'm thankful for your holiness. You deserve all of my thanks. I don't deserve any of this. And I'm going to give you thanks. I'm going to throw it upon you." And the proper attitude of thankfulness begins when we are willing to give God thanks in all of situations, all things, in all of life's difficulties, or all of life's good days. We cast it upon him. Not only did David willingly give thanks to the Lord, but he did it with resolve. Again, there in verse 1, David says, "I give you thanks." The word itself, "give," reveals the willingness of David's heart. He was going to cast it upon the Lord, or throw thankfulness upon the Lord. The word in the verb form reveals David's resolve in practice what was in his heart. "I will do this, and I'm going to give you thanks." And David's heart was full of thankfulness to the Lord. And David was in intent that his thankfulness be given to the Lord. You know, sometimes we're willing, and it's in the heart, and it's there, and it's like, but then it doesn't come out. You kind of hold it in. And David says, not only am I going to freely give it to you, but I am going to, with resolve, give you thanks. Again, we see that nothing is going to hold David back from giving thanks to the Lord. He's so overwhelmed with gratefulness to the Lord. He's so overwhelmed with the goodness of the Lord, with the Lord's character and His promises. With resolve, he freely gives thanks to the Lord. He casts it upon Him. I'm going to give thanks to the Lord. Number three, he does it intentionally. He's very intentional in who receives his thanks. It's to leave no doubt in the mind of others. David intentionally acknowledges who he is giving thankfulness to. In verse 1, he says, I give you thanks, O Lord. In verse 2, I give thanks to your name. David was clear, you are going to be the one that receives my gratefulness. I'm going to cast it to you. I'm going to throw it to the Lord. And David wanted others to know that it was Yahweh that deserved his gratefulness. It was not chance. It was not fate. It was not a good day. It was the Lord who was going to receive his thankfulness. And David was not bashful. He was not cowardly in attributing thankfulness to God. It was the Lord who deserved his gratefulness, and it was the Lord who was going to receive it. And so often we confess that we are thankful before others. We've all said this. I've said this. I'm thankful. And people are kind of left with, well, who are you thankful to? We should be intentional in saying, I am thankful to the Lord. And careful in letting others know that our thankfulness is to the Lord. It's not that we're just thanking this random power, this random universe or fate or chance. We are thankful to the Lord for the good things that has come upon us. We are thankful for the Lord for his blessings. So David does it willingly, with resolve, intentionally. Number four, David does so without reservation. Again, in verse 1, David says that he will give thanks to the Lord with his whole heart. My entire being, I'm going to give thanks to the Lord. This gratitude will not just be a matter of intellectual or verbal acknowledgement where we just, acknowledge, yes, I'm thankful to the Lord. He would not simply give thanks because that it was something he was supposed to do or something that he was supposed to say. Gratefulness would occupy his entire being. His whole heart, he says. It would occupy every facet of his life. And as a result, because his whole heart was full of gratitude, that meant that that wasn't just in one particular area of his life. He wasn't just fully thankful with all of his heart just when things were good. He was thankful with his whole heart at all times. His entire being, his heart was full of gratitude to the Lord. He would be thankful just as much in bad times as he would be during the good. Why? Why would he be thankful during the good times and thankful just as much as he would be during the bad times? Well, the reason for being just as grateful during the difficult times as he would be during the good times is because of the greatness of the blessings for which he was thankful. This phrase that David uses here, his whole heart, it was an expression that talked about the surpassing greatness of the blessings received. In other words, you couldn't thank him any less because of what he received. The blessings that come from the Lord are of such surpassing greatness and of such surpassing worth that it deserves our gratitude from our entire heart, our whole heart. In other words, the items in which David is thankful for are of such surpassing greatness that the only proper response to the Lord would be complete and constant thankfulness, even during times of difficulty. I'm thankful that you're holy. I'm thankful that you remain true to your word. I'm thankful for your promises. I'm thankful for your mercy. Those are such wonderful promises because those don't change when things are difficult. You don't change when times are hard. You don't change when things don't go the way that I think they should. You remain pure. You remain true. You remain faithful to your promises. Because of that wonderful and surpassing goodness that comes from such blessings, how could I not thank you with my whole heart, even when things aren't going as I would like? The difficulties of life don't change the promises of God. In fact, it is the promises of God that gives us the hope and the strength to persevere during the difficult days. And so great are the blessings that come to us from the Lord that the only proper response to such blessing is complete thankfulness from the heart. In Psalm 9, verse 1, David says, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. As I contemplate, as I remember all of your wonderful deeds, I can't help but give thanks to you with my whole heart. And David understood that giving thanks is not just an act of obedience, but is an act of worship as we thank him for his goodness and his love for us. Number 5, David thanked the Lord despite surrounding wickedness. He says there in verse 1, David says, before the gods, I sing your praise. Despite the idolatry surrounding David and the sinful practices that would follow practicing such idolatry, David would not be hindered from giving thanks and praise to the Lord. To sing before the gods meant to sing in their presence, or literally to sing in their face. In a ways, it was to show contempt to the false gods, to the imaginary deities, the rival deities that people would worship. It was to say, listen, you're thanking them, I'm going to sing before the gods my praise. I'm going to sing. You want to know who deserves my thankfulness? You want to know who deserves the praise? The Lord does. And I'm going to do that, and I'm going to sing before them. In a way, it was a public rebuke to those who would worship such false gods. Why are you worshiping them? Thankfulness belongs to the Lord. Thankfulness belongs to the good God, Yahweh. So for David, it was a way to proclaim Yahweh to those who weren't worshiping the Lord. His way of giving thanks was a way of proclaiming the goodness of the Lord toward others. But not only do we see David's willingness to sing before the gods, but also we see his confidence in the purposes of God. So often the prevailing winds of darkness that permeate our culture can easily dampen our spirits. When we see how much evil is in our society, and we see how many people are clinging to that sin and clinging to that evilness, we begin to wonder, what is God doing in the midst of all of this? Will this ever change? Is it just going to get worse? Is the Lord really in control? I mean, look at what's going on. Look at what's being promoted. But David was confident in the purposes and promises of God despite the surrounding idolatry. I'm going to sing my praises before these gods. They're not going to affect what God is doing. They're not going to affect his character. They're not going to affect his promises. The wickedness of the day was not going to alter God's purpose nor keep any of his promises from being fulfilled. And for that, David was thankful. So he gives thanks willingly, with resolve, intentionally, without reservation, in the midst of sinful people. Number 6, he does so with submission. He says in verse 2, I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name. David's act of bowing down toward the Lord's holy temple reveals the humility of David's heart and his submission to the Lord's plan. If this psalm was written by David in response to the Davidic covenant, then you have David submitting to the Lord's plan for his temple. David wanted to build the Lord a temple. The Lord told David no, but that it would be David's son that would build the temple. Verse 11 of 2 Samuel chapter 7. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. David's act of bowing down toward the Lord's holy temple could be seen as a submission to the Lord's purpose for him. He understood, listen, I wanted to build the temple. That was my plan. That's what I thought was best. That's what I thought was needed. And the Lord said, no. So David, with humility, says, well, I bow down toward your holy temple. You do what you want. I will yield to your plans. I will yield to the temple that you will build. David shows us with his thankfulness that submission would be accompanied with humility, reverence, and trust in the Lord. In fact, David says in verse 8 of Psalm 138, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. I wanted to build you a house, but you had something different for me. I thought that was good, but you had something different. And rather than being bitter and resentful to what the Lord had established, David says, I will bow down toward your plan. I will bow down toward your holy temple. And David submits to that plan with thankfulness and trust. I know you will fulfill your purpose in me, and I yield to that purpose. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name. So David displays for us the qualities of a proper attitude of thankfulness. He was willing to give God thanks freely and gladly. He was resolved to give God thanks because his heart was overwhelmed with gratefulness to the Lord. He was intentional in making others aware that it was the Lord who was to receive thanks. He thanked the Lord with his whole heart without reservation. He thanked the Lord despite the wickedness of others, proclaiming the goodness of the Lord before them. And he thanked the Lord while submitting to God's purposes for his life. And David exemplifies for us a proper attitude of thankfulness before the Lord. Now, what are some of the specific things that David gave thanks for? Well, start with the first one. David was thankful for God's steadfast love. Verse 2. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love. Some translations have mercy. Some translations have loving kindness. In general, just as the word is used, generally it speaks of the Lord and his love that he has for his people. When taken in the context of Psalm 138, it speaks of the Lord's love and mercy as seen in his relationship with his children. It is the love that comes to his children. It is the blessing of his faithfulness and his love that comes to them. It is a driving factor behind why he does what he does for his children that is mentioned in this psalm. Why he does what he does is because of his steadfast love. And for example, it's because of his steadfast love that he answers when we call upon him. Verse 3. On the day I called, you answered me. It is because of his steadfast love that he increases the strength of our soul. My strength of soul, you increased. Why does he do that? It's because of his steadfast love for his people. It is because of his steadfast love that even though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly. Verse 6. It is because of his steadfast love that he protects us in the midst of trouble. Verse 7. Really, it's because of his steadfast love. Where it says that he will preserve us in the midst of, when we walk in the midst of trouble, he preserves my life. We see not only this loving kindness, but his constant and his intimate concern and care over his children. I'm watching you when you walk in the midst of trouble, and I will preserve your life. You're not out there just kind of wandering around. I am watching over you. And I do that because of my steadfast love. It's because of his steadfast love that he fulfills his purposes for us, as he says in verse 8. And this is steadfast love, as I said last week. It's kind of the bookends. It's why he does what he does. In verse 2, he starts it. He mentions it in verse 2. He finishes it in verse 8. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. David is so overwhelmed with gratitude for God's steadfast love, love that is seen in him condescending from on high down to meet the needs of lowly man. I will watch over you. I will care for you. I will protect you. And David is overwhelmed with gratefulness to the Lord because of God's steadfast love. Love that David says there in verse 8 that endures forever. It's not going to fade away. It's not going to change. It's not going to be altered. Someone else isn't going to come through and change the Lord's ways. So David is overwhelmed with thankfulness for the Lord's steadfast love. Number two, David is thankful for God's faithfulness. He says there in verse 2, I'm thankful for your steadfast love, and I'm thankful for your faithfulness. God's faithfulness, which ensures that every promise that has ever been made will come to pass. Because you are faithful. And David had no doubt that God's promises made to him would come to pass. There was no question in David's mind when the Lord gave to him the Davidic covenant that God was not going to come through on his promises. There was no doubt whatsoever. He knew the Lord was faithful. In fact, he says in his response, in his prayer of gratitude back to the Lord after he hears the promise made to him, he says in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 28, And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised this good thing to your servant. I don't doubt it. You've promised it. You're going to see it come to pass. Why? Because you are God, and your words are true. And David's heart was full of gratitude because of the Lord's faithfulness to him. And David served a God who will always keep his promises to his people. And David served a God who will always remain true to his own character. What assurance did David have? How could he speak with such confidence the Lord would never change? Well, he says there in verse 2, the Lord would never change because God's name and God's word are at stake. He says there, I will give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. You have set them above everything else, and you will make sure they remain there. You have exalted your name, your character, you have exalted your word above everything else. It's the standard. It's the assurance. The assurance that David has was that God had exalted his name and his word above all things. And God would remain faithful to his name, and God would remain faithful to his word because his name was at stake. His word was at stake. And God does not remain faithful to his nature, and if God does not remain faithful to his word, then he is no different than all the other false gods that people are worshiping. And his word has no validity and offers no assurance. So David was thankful for God's faithfulness, because it was God's faithfulness that I will exalt my name, my character, and my word above everything else. So David was thankful for God's love. He was thankful for God's faithfulness. Number three, he was thankful that God answers when we call. Verse 3, on the day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. And David was thankful for the father's concern for his children. Again, you see the intimate concern. I'm there when you call. I'm watching over you so that when you call upon me, I am there to answer your call. We all know that call that we call upon the Lord, we call for a variety of reasons. We call for wisdom. We call for provisions. We call upon him for comfort and for deliverance and for mercy, for restoration, for strength, for forgiveness, for peace, for grace, for salvation. You name it. The Lord says, when you call upon me, I am there to answer your call. Whatever the call may be for, we can be thankful that our loving, good, and gracious Heavenly Father is there ready to answer the call of his children. And we can be thankful that God doesn't restrict us to certain days and times. Well, you know, you've got to meet me on my standards. You've got to meet me on my time. God doesn't restrict us. He's there to answer us at any time. Number 4, David is thankful for the future reign of Christ, verses 4 and 5. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. David was thankful for the promise of the future reign of the Messiah. The Davidic covenant promised that one would reign from the throne of David forever, a reference to Christ's rule during his millennial kingdom, a time in which all kings of the earth will fall under his rule and give allegiance to him. Now, in verses 4 and 5, in one way, these promises were fulfilled during David's lifetime, as surrounding kings witnesses the blessings of God upon David and upon the nation of Israel. If you study 2 Samuel chapter 5 or 2 Samuel chapter 8, you'll see their response to the goodness of the Lord. The kings of the earth, they recognized the favor that came upon Israel and the favor that came upon David. They recognized that. But the promises of verses 4 and 5 will be fulfilled in the most complete sense during Christ's millennial reign, as all the kings of the earth will recognize his kingship and his lordship over all the earth. And they will hear his righteous decrees, it says in verse 4. And they will sing of the ways of the Lord in verse 5. Imagine what an amazing day that will be, when all the kings of the earth will sing praises to the Lord. Consider the sobering reality of what David is saying here and what he is giving thanks for. Yes, I see the people worshiping the pagan gods of the day, but I'm going to be thankful there's going to come a day where all kings will give praise to the Lord. As we look at the rulers of the nation of the world today, most nations reject him and persecute his people. There's very little unity amongst the nations. Everybody's just looking out what is best for their own interest. But however, David thinks forward, and he says he's thankful that a day is coming when all the kings of the earth will sing in unison to the glory of the Lord. And like David, we can be thankful for the future reign of Christ despite the current rejection of him. Number five, David was thankful for God's intimate concern for his children. Verses 7 and 8. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. And David was thankful for the Lord's protection over his life, which ensured that the Lord's purpose for him would be fulfilled. The Lord would watch over David's life, preserving him in the midst of trouble, any trouble that might affect God's purpose for his life. Any difficulties that would come because of David's confidence in the Lord's purpose, David could see them as part of God's plan for his life. If difficulties come, then they must come at your choosing, because you preserve me in the midst of trouble, and you will fulfill your purpose for me. David was so confident in the Lord fulfilling his purpose for him. Again, it shows the intimate concern, the intimate love that the father has for his children. David was thankful that God would give what is needed for the purpose to be accomplished. If we need strength, God will give it. If we need provisions, God will give it. Whatever the need to fulfill God's purpose for our lives, God will fulfill it. God will give it. We are assured of this, and we can be thankful for this because God is concerned for his children and will fulfill his purpose for us. Can you just see this intimate concern, this intimate care that the Father has for his own because of his loving kindness, because of his faithfulness? His enduring love, verse 8, assures us that he will accomplish his task because it endures forever. He doesn't change. And his enduring love assures us that our Heavenly Father will not forsake the work of his hands, as he says there in verse 8. Look at what the Lord has already done in your life. He's redeemed you. He's forgiven you. He's begun the good work in your life. And David's saying, listen, why would he now forsake you? He's already shown you his steadfast love and his redemption. He's already shown you his steadfast love and his protection over you. Why now would you think that he might forsake you? The Lord won't forsake the work of his hands. And so David was a man after God's own heart. He gave thanks to God willingly and with resolve. He gave thanks to God intentionally and without reservation. He did it despite the wickedness of others. And he did it with submission to God's purpose for his life. He was thankful for God's steadfast love, his faithfulness, the fact that God answers when he calls, when we call upon him. He was thankful for the future reign of Christ. And he was thankful for God's intimate concern for his children. All things we have to be thankful for, not just this time of the year, but every day, in the good times and in the bad times. Let's pray. Father, we are very thankful, like David. We are thankful for your goodness toward us. We are thankful for your intimate concern for your children, that though you are high, and though you are righteous, and though you are holy, you considered us in our lowly estate. You sent your Son Christ to redeem us, to pay the penalty for our sins, to be the perfect sacrifice, to bear the wrath of God. Thank you for Christ. Thank you for the salvation that we have. Thank you for your Spirit that dwells within us, that equips us, that strengthens us, that guides us, that convicts us, that encourages us, that comforts us with the promises of your word. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your name. Your name encompasses who you are. You are righteous and merciful and compassionate and just and righteous and good and loving and forgiving. Lord, we thank you for that. And we're thankful for your faithfulness to keep your word, to fulfill your promises, like David, who, even though the promise wasn't made to us that you will fulfill future reign, that promise is, in a way, direct. It wasn't directly toward us, but it is toward us. As we await Christ's return, as we await the time where he will reign, as we await the home that we have in heaven, await the glorified body that is promised to us. We have so many good and wonderful things that have come to us by your hands that are not affected by anything this world can throw at us. And for that, we are eternally grateful. So, Lord, we thank you for all these things, and may our thankfulness be acceptable in your eyes. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.